السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه سيدنا على سيدنا محمد في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we're going to just give a short sermon just so that we can ما زال نحيي خطبة الجمعة, so that we can keep at least the practice of listening to a sermon at this time on this day, inshallah. And as we continue to consult our fiqh councils, hopefully we'll see how things go. And I'm sure, I'm assuming many people are going to start to move to virtual Jum'as. We are in consultation now with some scholars to talk about perhaps a virtual Taraweeh. But definitely we're going to be having community iftar together here on the Swiss platform, inshallah. So BYOI, right? Bring your own iftar. But let's, inshallah, quickly, just a quick short sermon with my trusted assistant here. Make dua for all of your children. May Allah protect all of us, inshallah, in this important time. In alhamdulillahi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon سيد الأولين والآخرين وسيد الأكوان سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Brothers and sisters, mashallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just a quick short reminder, of course, tonight we're going to be having our nightly Quran, and this time we hope, inshallah, Sheikh Musa the Qari will make it. We're going to be reading Surah Sajda, inshallah. And I have my daughter here, my 10th month old, Habibti Aini Qalbi wa Jalala Hayati, mashallah, helping me out today, alhamdulillah. And I think it's very important that we reflect on a few points. The first point is that Allah is Al-Qahhar. One of the names of Allah is Al-Qahhar. And Al-Qahhar is the one who can really impose his will on everything and nothing can stop him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. From his irada. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have to be in awe, truly, at the power of Allah, who in less than just a few months has allowed something for which the greatest venture capitalist can't stop, the most powerful militaries in the world can't stop, the most brilliant minds are left spellbound. And we see that the only place, لا ملجأ من الله إلا إليه, as is mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, ضاقت عليهم الأرض, that the earth began to suffocate them. And there was no escape except with Allah. And it's interesting that we haven't seen people call for prayer in a moment like this. You know, when Allah talks about even the idolaters before the time of the Prophet ﷺ, when the boat began to, you know, sink and be moved by waves, they would even in their fitrah, دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَ لَإِنْ أَنْجَيْنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ لَنَكُونَ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. At least in that moment, they knew to turn to Allah. So one of the things that I want to emphasize at this time is that with the most minute creation, Allah has brought the most powerful material creation to its knees. Subhanallah. And there is a great lesson in this, that we should turn to Allah, the one who controls all things, and ask Him sincerely to protect us, and ask Him to sincerely help us help others, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet said, "Ma anzal Allahu da'an illa," Allah did not send any or allow any illness to take place except He sent its remedy. So we ask Allah, Al-Alim Al-Hakim, Alim Al-Ghayb, to and Al-Kashif, the one who uncovers things, and Al-Qahar, to ease this test for us and for people, as we ask Him to uncover for us the remedy for this incredible challenge, this incredible virus. But there is something to be said, that bi ahqar makhluqatihi subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the most insignificant creation, which we can't even see, can't even hold it in our hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought the most powerful to their knees. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us learn and reflect on this, and to also gain a trust in Him that He is Al-Qawi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next lesson is the importance of isolation. You know, it's definitely very frightening, and it's okay to be scared. We need to be careful of content providers who are telling Muslims that if you're fearful of the coronavirus, then you have weak iman. There's no correlation between those things. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was sent to Fir'aun with his brother Harun, when Allah said, "Idhhaba ila Fir'auna innahu tagha," Allah said, "Go to Fir'aun," and their response was, "Inna nakhaf," we fear, we're fearful of the situation in Surah Al-Taha. Sayyidina Ibrahim, when the angels came to him and he realized that they weren't human, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً قَالُوا لَا تَخَفْ, he pulled away from them in fear. So fear is something which we do not state is a sign of someone's weak iman, unless that fear compels them to do something which would be disobedient to Allah. But fear is something very normal. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, "La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana," don't be sad. He didn't tell him, you're wrong for being sad. He said, don't be sad, inna Allaha ma'ana, Allah is with us. The last point of this short sermon that I hope inshallah Allah will benefit, and I want to extend my sincere love to each and every one of you. We are an ummah, subhanallah, even this virus hasn't stopped people from wanting to have Salatul Jum'ah. What a beautiful community, man. The resilience of the Muslim ummah, whether it's in Palestine or Kashmir, whether it's in the Bronx, whether it's in LA, whether it's in Texas, whether it's in Pakistan, whether it's in Africa, we are a community of istiqama wa sabr, subhanallah. And this has brought all of us together in very powerful ways, in meaningful ways. And one of the things I would like to talk about is how isolation in our theology is always a pretense for great growth. And if you think about it, Sayyidina Adam had to be isolated from Jannah to reach the dunya. If you think about it, Sayyidina Ibrahim, he found the coolness in the fire alone. If you think about it, Sayyidina Nuh and his followers were ostracized and exiled, but it was there that they found a boat which brought them safety. It was at the bottom of a well in complete isolation that Sayyidina Yusuf became who he was. And then once again, as he suffered under the prison industrial complex, in complete isolation, it was there that he was able to manifest himself. If you look at Sayyidina wa Imamana Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it was in a cave that he became the rahmah to everything. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is the theme in the Quran, Ashab al-Kahf, in isolation, changed the world. So I want us to think about how this opportunity for isolation should not simply be spent on Netflix binging and playing video games. There is great hikam and great wisdom in why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us as Muslims, if we look at this through a theological lens, whether we're at the bottom of the well, whether we're in the cold prison, whether we're being isolated like Sayyidina Maryam because of her gender, whether we're like Sayyidina Isa, who's isolated from his people, whether we're like the Sahaba in Shibi Abi Talib, who in isolation in Mecca became the saviors of the world. So one of the things that we should think about is embrace isolation. As Imam Shafi'i said, if I have no one to talk to, at least I can talk to Allah. If I find myself completely alone, I found myself found in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Imam Ibn al-Ta'allah, he teaches us the etiquettes of isolation. We actually have adab, adab al-khilwa. You know, in our books, our classical texts, we have, you're acting so good, mashallah. In the classical books, we have what's called adab al-khilwa, which means the etiquettes of being alone. We have a Sufi tariqah, one of the tariqahs of Ahl Sunnah in Egypt called Al-Khilwatiyun. And their adab, their focus is on when you're in isolation. Subhanallah. Imam Ibn al-Ta'ala in Al-Hikam, he says, أَدْفِنْ وُجُودَكَ فِي أَرْضِ الْخُمُولِ فَمَا نَبَتَ مِمَّا لَمْ يُدْفَنْ وَلَا يُتِمْ نَتَائِجُ. I'm going to say it again for people who understand Arabic. أَدْفِنْ means bury, like janaza, bury your dead. وُجُودَك, yourself, فِي أَرْضِ الْخُمُولِ, in a distant fertile land. Meaning be isolated. فَمَا نَبَتَ مِمَّا لَمْ يُدْفَنْ, because what hasn't been isolated and dug deeply can't grow. So our tradition, our spiritual tradition, is one that sees moments of isolation as an opportunity to be like that seed to grow. That's what Allah says in the end of Surah Al-Fath about the Sahaba, كَزَرْعٍ أَخْرَجَ زَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِ. One of the hikam of the Sahaba is that they lived in the Arabian Peninsula, so they were isolated from everything. And from that isolation, Allah says, they are like a seed that grew slowly. Think about it. Perhaps some of us have been so busy with the kind of corporate cult culture, which is rooted in prophets, not prophethood, but prophets. We root ourselves in prophets, non-prophets, mashallah, whose reward is Jannah. But we've been caught up in a global culture that causes us to be moved and shape our value based on the movements of celebrities, based on the movement of those people, the oligarchs, the rich, the aristocracy. Maybe this is an opportunity that Allah has given us to see that in front of difficulties, we all the same. And that now I have time to step back, as one brother told me who's quarantining himself. He said, this is the first time in 6 years I talked to myself. This is the first time in 6 years that I wasn't thinking about what other people thought about me. I was able to be really one-on-one with myself and Allah. So Imam Ibn al-Ta'Allah says, أَدْفِنْ وُجُودَكَ فِي أَرْضِ الْخُمُولِ. And he uses the word dafan. Those who understand Arabic, dafan is what you do to a dead body. As though he's saying, dig yourself, bury yourself in a deep earth so that what's resurrected grows and brings fruit. Because he says, فَمَا نَبَتَ مِمَّا لَمْ يُدْفَنْ وَلَا يُتِمْ نَتَائِجُ. Because what's not dug deep won't grow and it won't bring fruit. And then he says something very, very beautiful. He says, مَا نَفَعُ الْقَلْبِ شَيْءٌ مِثْلُ عُزْلَةٍ. Nothing brings life to the heart like isolation. And a better translation is a little isolation. That's why he says, عُزْلَةٌ not al-عُزْلَةٍ. ما نفع القلب شيئا مثل عزلة. He said that nothing brings benefit to the heart like a little isolation. يدخل بها ميدان فكرة. And in that moment of isolation where there is an opportunity for contemplation. He said nothing is better. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes this happens quickly. I remember when I was 18, I was DJing a party at a nightclub. And at that time, I was searching, you know, but I was so busy. I was flying to LA, going to New York, about to sign a record deal. I was like, man, my life was moving so fast. That's the challenge of the dunya, because we believe that the Quran and Sunnah are called the khitab of Allah, right? Like khutbah, the communication of God. If we get so caught up in the dunya, we can't hear the khitab anymore. If the heart is so busy, we can't hear the khitab. So sometimes Allah blesses us with moments of isolation so we can mute the dunya to hear the akhirah. We can mute the dunya to hear the infinite reality of this deen, subhanAllah. So I remember I went into the restroom. I had a really bad night. I went into the restroom and I was alone and it hit me and I fell on my knees in a restroom. And I said, if you're God, if you're Buddha, if you're Jesus, if you're Muhammad, if you're Allah, I didn't know what religion was. Whoever you are, you got to save me from this. And then subhanAllah, my friend, he gave me a copy of the Quran. So moments of isolation right? They bring benefit to the heart, even if they're a little. And that's why I said earlier, at the bottom of a well, in the prison, in the cave, being ostracized because of her gender, Sayyida Maryam alayhi salam. So many of those moments of uncompromising isolation in the Quran, it's there that Ibrahim finds coolness in the fire alone. Then he talks about the etiquette. There are four things we should think about as we go through this isolation. He says, كَيْفَ يَشْهُقُ الْقَلْبُ سُوَرُ الْأَكْوَانِ مُنْطَبِقَ فِي مِرْآتِهِ. He said, number one is, how is the heart going to be able to think about what's beneficial when the entire dunya is stuck and glued to its lens? So if all that's on my mind is Sephora, the gym, lipo, you know, getting my hair done, coloring my hair, getting ready for the party, how do I look? What's my 401k? What's my IRA like? How are the stocks doing? Bitcoin. And I never think about, man, why did I miss Fajr, man? When was the last time I visited my parents? When was the last time I checked in on my neighbor? He's saying, if all those kind of things, man, are stuck to the heart, from Sephora to video games, to this, to that, all that's glued to the chest, the heart won't be able to see properly. Allah says, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي صُدُورِ, that the hearts are blind. So maybe this opportunity to be restricted from the cult of consumption in the world is meant to blind us from the dunya to give us insight for the hereafter. We should think about that. So the first is to work on zuhd. Zuhd doesn't mean to be irresponsible, but zuhd means to put things in the right place. Imam Sidi Ahmad Zaruq said, تقديم الأهم على المهم شأن الصادقين في كل شيء. To prioritize is the sign of the seekers in every situation. And really, this hit me, man, because sometimes we get so busy, we forget what's important. We forget what really is intrinsic to our being. But if you think about it, who do you call now every day? Who do you FaceTime with every day? Who do you pray for every day? That's what's intrinsic to you. Ain't none of us praying for Sephora. Ain't none of us praying for Adidas. Ain't none of us praying for Nike. Ain't none of us. We're praying for our parents, our friends, our imams, the people that we truly love. And this moment really has clarified what's intrinsic to my value. So let me pull out what's not intrinsic and focus on what's intrinsic to me. That's the first thing. Then he says, أَمْ كَيْفَ يَرْحَلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُقْبِلٌ بِشَهَوَاتِ. And he said, how can someone travel to God when they're weighed down by their desires? That's why Allah in Surah Al-Rahman, he says, سَنَفْرُغُ لَكُمْ أَيُّهَا الثَّقَلَانِ فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Allah says, we are going to call you to account, you thaqalan, you two heavy creatures. Some ulama said it means human beings and jinn. We're heavy because we have the responsibility of Islam. But others said we're heavy because we carry sin. Sin has made us heavy. Sin has burdened us. It's like we're at the airport. We brought too many bags. We're trying to get into Jannah. You got too many bags, dude. Either you got to pay up, right? You got to pay up, or you got to suffer for it. You can't get on the boat. You can't get on the plane. So the sheikh, he says, أَمْ كَيْفَ يَرْحَلُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. يعني كيف الشخص يرحل إلى الله. How can I travel to God? وَهُوَ مُقْبِلٌ بِشَهَوَاتِ. But I'm weighed down with my desires. So now's an opportunity, as we're in isolation, to think about amputating those evil habits that now we can't go and do anymore. As one brother told me, he's like, man, I haven't been able to smoke weed in 6 days. I was like, alhamdulillah, bro. That's a good thing, man. That's a good thing. Another brother was like, I haven't been able to see, you know, he's in a relationship. I haven't been able to see my girl in a minute. That's a good thing. Allah has kept you now away from these things so you can reorganize them and do them in the right way. You can do them in the halal. فَكَيْفِ يَرْحَرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُقْبِلٌ بِشَهَوَاتِ. So now is the opportunity for me to look at the shahwa that's in my life, the evil things that I do that now I've been kept from. If you think about it, we're being prepped for Ramadan now in many ways. We're not able to do some of the things we would normally be doing. This is an opportunity to discipline myself. Then he says, أَمْ كَيْفِ يَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ حَضْرَةَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ لَمْ يَتَطَهَّرْ مِنْ جَنَبَاتِ غَفَلَاتِهِ. And he said, and how could someone hope in entering in a real meaningful relationship with Allah and they are imprisoned by their negligence. So the third thing is now, man, you know, it's interesting. Every day we're living like we might die, right? Every day people are living like they might die. Like, how am I missing Fajr now? How am I missing Salah? How am I missing being kind to my daughter, to my family, to those around me? Hello, Habibti. How am I being nice to those things that really matter? Because I don't know. And now we can appreciate the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as related by Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun aw abiru sabil. Live as though you're traveling, man. Live as though you're moving. And when Abdullah bin Umar used to say, if you see the morning, don't expect to see the evening. If you see the evening, don't expect to see the morning. So the third is being awakened from my negligence. Then he says, أَمْ كَيْفِ يَرْجُوا أَنْ يَفْهَمْ دَقَائِقَ الْأَسْرَارِ وَهُوَ لَمْ يَتُوبْ مِنْ هَفَوَاتِهِ. And how could anyone hope to understanding the true meanings of life if he or she has not repented from sin? So the last etiquette that we can engage in this quarantine, and now we're going to build on this next week. These are individual etiquettes. Then there are communal etiquettes, of course. One of the dangers of spirituality is when it becomes simply about the person, and that masks a subtle form of narcissism. But my moments alone with God are simply preparing me for great moments to serve God's creation. So the last thing he says, rahimahullah, is how could anyone hope to understand the nuances of the creation, of God's creation, and they haven't repented from their sins? So always being in a state of tawbah, always being in a state of repentance. So mashallah, just a short reminder, we're going to see you guys later tonight, inshallah ta'ala, for our Quran nightly reading. Yeah, we're going to have Sheikh Musa reading Surah Sajda, inshallah. But let's quickly review what we talked about today. We said number one is that Allah is Al-Qahhar. Al-Qahhar is the one who dominates, the one who subjugates everything. وَهُوَ قَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ. Allah is the one who subjugates all things. فَعَارُ لِمَا يُرِيدْ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى. Instead of falling into the trick of asking ourselves, why did God do this? What we should say is, Allah is the all-powerful. Let me turn to that all-powerful being to save me and keep me strong and bless me during this challenge. Then we talked about how isolation in our tradition, in our spiritual tradition, is simply a catalyst for greatness. Look at nature. Did you see the water in Venice? Did you hear about the birds in the Amazon? Now that human beings have been forced to erode their tide of constant engagement in the environment, immediately the world has experienced a growth in nature and the health of nature in general. SubhanAllah, what does it tell you, man? What kind of impact are we having on the earth around us? So we believe that moments of isolation are actually opportunities for growth. That's why, SubhanAllah, as we mentioned numerous stories of the prophets, the bottom of the well in jail, Hijra, Shibi Abi Talib, Sayyidina Maryam, Sayyidina Ibrahim, Sayyidina Adam, Sayyidina Nuh, you name it, isolation led to success and greatness. And then we mentioned that Imam Ibn al-Ta'Allah, Iskandari, he said, number one, giving us the etiquettes of isolation is to look at our bad qualities and bury them as though we're praying janazah. And then what grows from that burying them, that burial, is the good qualities, the fruit. And he says, rahimahullah, ma nafa'a al-qalb shay'un mithla uzla yadkhulu biha maydanul fikra, that nothing benefits a person like isolation, a little isolation in which in the maydan, and it's beautiful, you understand Arabic, he uses maydan. Maydan is like a square, because it's though like in this square of your life, you can think about things. Like, so you traverse the square, you look at this shop, that shop, this shop, that shop. Well, here it's like, I'm thinking about Allah and myself. And then he mentions four etiquettes we should think about in isolation. Number one is removing things which are superficial from our soul and making sure that we focus on what's intrinsic to our soul. Number two is lightening the weight of our desires so that we can travel to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three is repenting from our negligence. And the fourth is repenting from our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi asma'ihi kulliha وصفات العلا. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by all of his names and attributes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-alim al-hakim. Ask Allah al-qahar. Ask Allah who is al-qahar to remove this virus from us, to accept our forgiveness, to protect every single one of us. We ask Allah who subhanahu wa ta'ala al-shafi, the one who heals, and yashfi, to heal all of the sick people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins. Oh Allah, we know that our sins are great, but your mercy is greater. Oh Allah, we know sometimes we fear what people will say about us. Forgive us and help us to only fear you. Oh Allah, we ask that you embrace us. خُدْ بِأَيْدِينَا يَا رَبَّنَا. And you أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا رَحْمَةً. That you send upon us rahmah and sakina. We pray for our brothers and sisters who may be suffering from mental health issues and anxiety. This is a time it's okay to be anxious. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove your anxiety. We ask Allah to send sakina upon you as he sent sakina upon the people after the Battle of Uhud. We ask Allah to protect our brothers and sisters in Jarash. If you don't know what a Jarash is in Jordan, research it. Read about this camp where Palestinians are left in the middle of nowhere. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift and remove this burden from them. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Kashmir who have been quarantined now for a number of months. We're upset that we've been quarantined for just a few weeks. Palestine, people in prisons across the world unjustly. Our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, the Rohingya, they have been living under perpetual quarantine for a long time. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yarfa anhum hadha bala'. We ask Allah to remove that difficulty for them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our brothers and sisters in this country, the United States. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us be ummah, khayra ummatin ukhrijat linas. Ask Allah to make us be a remedy for this illness that plagues this country. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help protect us from this virus. And for those of us who have been impacted or sickened, may Allah asri'. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cause the cure to come quickly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yajma'ana ma sayyidina wa habibina Muhammadin kama amanna bihi wa lam narah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as we believe in him even though we can't see him. We have to pray also for the refugees that are being kept at the borders of this country, especially the children, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yudafi anhum hadha al-marad, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from this illness and this sickness. We pray for the brothers and sisters in prison in the Muslim world. I heard today one of my teachers, Sheikh Salah Sultan, the prison that he's in Egypt now, there are people there developing the coronavirus. May Allah protect and cure. وَأَحْفَظْ مَصْرِ inshaAllah ta'ala. We ask Allah to bless all of you, your parents, to give you a sense of fulfillment in this time of isolation, to let you be a seed that grows and blossoms through this difficult time. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِن لَّدُنكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنتَ الْوَهَّابُ. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَرَحْمَةً لِّلْعَالَمِينَ وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You fell asleep during the khutbah? SubhanAllah, you fell asleep during the khutbah. You have to go make wudu. Yeah, you have to go make wudu, habibti. السلام عليكم.